Begin, I'm going to start with a prayer. Lord, I know that I'm loved and forgiven, a precious child of God, bought by the blood of Christ. I know that today's events will happen, some good and some bad, some that are in my control, but most that aren't. I know that these events will trigger thoughts, why me, this shouldn't happen to me, poor me, and these thoughts will produce feelings that will impact my behavior. When these events happen, help me remember that you have promised to never leave me or forsake me, and that you will work it all out for my eternal good, so that I can have feelings of hope, peace, confidence, and joy, with the goal that my behavior brings you glory in all I say and do. Amen. That prayer you maybe have heard now a time or two here at Morrison. That's a resiliency prayer that we're teaching a little bit more. You can actually grab in the back of church. But you hear one of the things that it really stretches is talking about the things that you're in control of in your life. How many things in your day do you have control of? You get to make choices. You can control yourself and how you react to things, but can you control how much rain there is? See, down in Milwaukee, there's flooding last night and today. Can you control if your power stays on? Any of you without power last night, yesterday? Can you control the way that people react to you? Can you control the traffic? Can you control so many of the things in your life? Oh, we can't. Can we? So this can cause us to worry and to be so afraid and just fearful. But today we're going to focus on how what God gives us, a treasure, He gives us this treasure that frees us. Frees us to be at peace, to have hope, to not be worried, to be confident, and to live with generosity and freedom and with vigor and purpose. This treasure that we have, this treasure that He gives us, truly frees us. But why do we need to be set free? Well, we talked about that prayer and how so many things are out of our control. But look at what He says to us, right? Says Jesus said to His disciples, "For that reason I tell you to stop worrying about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Certainly life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." If you think about a little bit of what we've been looking at, this follows in line of the gospel readings from the last few weeks. We heard where Mary and Martha is so concerned about doing and not listening. Concerned about what she does. And then last week in the gospel lesson, we heard a message preached on Ecclesiastes and about our wealth. And that gospel lesson that comes right before this is someone who is wealthy and then puts his hope in his wealth. He stores up everything, puts it in barns, and says, "I can eat, drink, and be merry. I'm set for life." And what does God say? "Well, this moment your life will be taken from you. All your hope in those things, well, it's gone." And so if we put our hope in material things or our strength, and then Jesus kind of goes on to the next thing of, well, what if I don't have these things? What about when I'm worried? What about when I've been working hard or things have been going well, and then everything just falls apart, and I'm worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? We're just fearful. And to go back to that prayer and to think about all the things that you're in control of. You can work so hard and then in an instant, a storm, something can take it out because you're not in control. And so when we think about worry and we think about anxiety, what is it so often about? And I'm not going to say every type of anxiety is about this because I know anxiety is complex, but often anxiety is about control. You want to have control over this thing or that thing, or you're afraid because you see you don't have any control and you don't know what's going to happen. Have you thought about that? Can you see that in your life when you are worried about something? Maybe it's your health, maybe it's finances, but it's especially when you are not in control, and that terrifies us. You're not in control of your future, and really, we're not in control of the past things that have happened, and we can't change those things. And so we worry, and we're so anxious because we want control. How many of the things do you try to control in your life that you just can't? How people think about you, what people say about you. You're in control. How this thing might turn out at work, how that relationship with your family might turn out. We're not in control, and that causes us such worry and anxiety. And so what does it do? What happens? Well, God tells us to not worry. He says, certainly life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no warehouses or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single moment to his life? Since you're not able to do the little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Okay, God, He clothes those, He gives those ravens all the things that they need, and they're not worried, but yet we're so worried, and He says, by worrying, can you add a single moment to your life? Can God do that, though? God can add moments to our life. He's in control of our life. In the Garden of Eden, He gives us the tree of life that gave life. He gives life to all mankind. But what does worry do to us? Worry actually paralyzes you and shortens your life. When you're worried, you're so bound up and you're afraid, and most often you're not doing, but you're scared and paralyzed. Or it kind of, instead of lengthening your life, when you worry, does it add time? Or does it shorten your life? Well, of course, when you're worrying about it, you're not working, you're kind of taking away time. But listen to some of the effects that worry has on you. There's a psychologist, last name Spolsky, who wrote a book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And he talks about how all the other animals in the world, they don't get ulcers, but us mammals, we're mammals too, but we're us humans, we get ulcers. Well, why? Because we worry and we invent things to worry about. And he says these are some of the impacts of worry on us. Does the effects of your ability to feel threatened long-term are absolutely devastating. You simply don't know how to handle this. Animals, they have that flight or flight, and it comes and goes, but we hold on to the worry and stress. Your muscles start to suffer from the tension, and there's often neck and shoulder pain for starters, and your immune system starts to fail. You get sick more, and if you're already sick, your symptoms get worse, and maybe you worry about getting sick. Your stomach starts to rebel. You get gastral reflux, your irritable bowel syndrome, in addition to ulcers. Stress can affect fertility and reproduction. It affects your lungs, can make asthma worse. Of course, there's also your blood. When your body is dealing with stress long term, you can develop high blood pressure. Blood clots also lead to heart attacks. It affects your metabolism, causes weight gain. Diabetes can affect your skin. All these different things is what worry and stress can do. It's an emotion, but what does it do? It affects your body. And my guess is you've experienced that sometime in your life where the stress just takes over. And so God is clearly saying, by worrying, do you add time to your life? Well, we see, of course, we don't. And then we see the actual effect is that we take time from our life by worry. So what should we do? Well, he says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? Do not constantly chase after what you will eat or drink. Do not be worried. To be sure, the nations of the world chase after all these things, but your Father knows you need them. Instead, continue to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So what do we do with worry but to seek the right things? Or you could say also to care about the right thing. We're going to talk about more about that in some different ways, but think about this in worry. When you're worried, what do you go to? When you're stressed, do you go to something? Maybe you even just numb yourself and you try to avoid it. Maybe with TV or YouTube, alcohol, other things that can numb you or distract you from what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you just, again, you're paralyzed. There's all sorts of different things you can run to, but do you then think about what God says to seek the kingdom? To trust in him. To know that things are not in your control, but whose control are they? God. Don't we forget that so often? That all of these things, that as much as God has clothed the flowers and how intricate and beautiful they are, they're more beautiful than the richest and wisest man, the richest king we've ever seen. It's greater than that. And God cares and loves you. And so it's in his control to trust him then. So go to him and not to some other thing that numbs it or makes you forget about it. But as we think about this too, instead of also be paralyzed, I think about the birds. And as I was preparing for that this week, so I was on vacation from Thursday to Monday, so I had a short week, and then I had pre-marriage counseling and a wedding rehearsal and a wedding and a couple sermons and things. And do you think this week I was a little worried or anxious? Maybe you, this week, it's an easy thing to be worried and anxious. And as you hear these things about what worry does to you, it's not to say, oh, how dare I, but also just to remind yourself of God's there. But what can we also care about and focus on? Well, just like the birds, we can do. Don't be paralyzed, but God puts things in front of us to do. That's a good thing. In our vocations and in all the things, God is using us to accomplish things. And so sometimes when we're worried, yes, we trust in God, but also just focus on the here and now. To work hard, to be faithful in what you're doing, but also to be full of faith. To move in the right direction, but know it's not always going to be perfect, because no one here is perfect and we fall short, but God is guiding it in the way that he knows and wants it to go. So we see what we can focus on God, and that he's in control, and not be paralyzed or turn to other things, but to also focus on what he's giving us, the task at hand, but not to be stressed by it. But then what really gives us the hope and peace, where he says, continue to seek the kingdom of God. Notice the next line. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. You notice that? He says, seek the kingdom in one line, and then do you notice the next thing he said? He gives you the kingdom. So what gives us this true peace and hope is that you have the kingdom. That this thing is something we have, and in all our working and striving, it's not about earning that kingdom, earning our salvation, earning our status before God, because we could never do that. We are in the kingdom. We are part of the kingdom by faith, by the work of Jesus that he has died on the cross for you and for me. And we're part of that. So we have that now. Well, where it talks about here, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide money bags yourselves so you do not become old, a treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It talks about a heavenly treasure, but you have that now. You have the peace and certainty of heaven and the forgiveness of sins now. You have the kingdom. So this helps us to not worry because we know God has given it to us. Because notice, he says, seek the kingdom, but then you little flock, he's not speaking to little children but his disciples. Notice what God asks of you to seek, he gives you. Isn't that fascinating? He says, seek the kingdom. This is what's going to give you peace and help you to not be worried. And he gives it to you. So, and just like a few weeks ago when we talked about Mary and Martha, and we can get so much stress because, oh, I'm working so much, I'm so busy, and yes, we want the law to strike us and to cut us to the heart when we're conflicted by that. But the comfort there was to rest, to be at peace, and to sit at Jesus' feet. And in the same way today, as much as we know we're overburdened by our worries and the things that are out of our control, it's not to lay on you, but for Jesus to say, little flock, come and rest. The kingdom is given to you, and you have this peace. So then what does this do to have the kingdom that is given to you? He says there to the little flock, to sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide money bags for yourself that do not become old. What happens is when you have Jesus, you are free to give. All those things that we feel that we're in control of, what are some of those things? Maybe your time, the gifts and talents that you have, the money that you have. This is really what he's talking about here, but I think it's an example of all the other things because in relationship to a lot of this, it's worry of money and food, what to eat and where. It says, give of it. When you understand you have that spiritual kingdom, peace, and hope, and that can't be taken away, what can you do with all the material things and all the other things that God has given you? Use it to bless others. Use it freely to serve God and to serve others. And this is the peace and the joy that we have. A little bit later today over at our Shirley location, we're going to have an installation, open house dedication there for the little sprouts. Here he talks about the little flock, and we're starting that early childhood education, and you know it's a question of why isn't it just a daycare? Well, there's also education that is going on. And from the first meetings we had, the consultant that was there from the Wells really helped us speak about this and understand this, that we get this awesome opportunity in the same way we do over at Morrison and the same at the school here and in church here to instill this peace and hope and the joy of Jesus every day in the hearts of little ones. And to put it in this perspective, I've heard it said, as you get older, have you noticed that people kind of become a caricature of certain characteristics? People who are just joyful and at peace in their old age, filled with joy. They overflow with that joy, don't they? They have that peace and that hope. And then there's other people who, maybe you see that older gentleman at the store and they're just angry. And they just kind of become more and more of that. And you talk about if you're trying to get somewhere and you kind of get off by a couple inches, if you're not going too far, it doesn't make a big difference. But after a long time, that trajectory really gets off, doesn't it? And of course, you can really, an older person or someone going on the way, they can change their path. But we get the opportunity with Little Sprouts, with our school, with church here, to instill in the hearts of people of old age, of young, that peace and hope in Jesus. In a world that is so out of our control, in a world that is filled with anxiety, and especially has grown in that anxiety over the last few years, we can help people not worry because they have Jesus. And they have a treasure that will not fade, that no thief can steal, because it's a spiritual, eternal one that promises they're forgiven, that Jesus loves them, He knows them, He clothes them, He feeds them, and no matter what happens, no matter if something horrible happens, diseases and losses and pain, that God is still there, and that God cares for them, and God cares for their eternal good. Because that's the eternal treasure, the precious treasure that He gives us, the kingdom through Jesus. And that treasure is yours, through Christ, through faith. So fear not, little flock. You have peace and a treasure that frees you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.